The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down! From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at One Deep Media, at, is it the underscore Jermaine?
That is correct.
Got it. And at producer T. Scott. Did I just hit all four of those out of the park?
Yes, sir.
You did that.
You could also hit us up via the text line at 713-780-3776. Craig Shelton, Jermaine Every filling in today. AJ will be back tomorrow. And it's funny because, well, Tyler knows this. I kind of have a rule about talking on breaks. Because you waste the conversation. That's why whenever I do show prep, it's like I'll put together a bunch of notes and send them to everybody, but I don't want to talk to you about it beforehand. Because inevitably what happens is you have this great conversation, and then you get on the air, and you've already blown it. You know, it's like going out and shooting 15 for 15 on threes in warm-ups. You know it's gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just wasted
it. And so AJ and I will almost never talk on the breaks unless we're talking about something that has nothing to do with the show. Like good beer or stuff like that, which, well, we do that on the show, too.
Well, it has a lot to do with this show.
Yeah, but
a lot to do with the show.
Yeah.
Very pertinent information.
Well, it is. But it's funny because you guys did not stop the entire time. I don't even think Craig breathed.
I need to file back, man.
A constant thing for us. We will go to a break, talk through the break, and then come back and then pick up the discussion. Like, we'll reset the discussion from the break. And then go through the next segment.
Very organic.
But you know what, though? It's all different for everybody. It's just, it's the one thing that I found is that and AJ and I have done this before. We'll get into an argument off air. And like, oh, yeah, let's do this when we come back. And then you come back.
It don't feel the same.
No, it's just can't reproduce it.
Yeah, this is no good. This sucks. All right, never mind. Let's talk about not gay snakes.
We're pretty good at insulting each other, re-insulting each other. We'll insult each other privately and then re-insult each other on air pretty good. We've gotten used to doing it.
It's second nature now.
Let's see what we got here. Eric says, love Hustle Town. Those guys are awesome.
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate you, brother.
Gay snakes and communist media, so far so good.
Hey, you never get enough gay snakes and communist media, man. Exactly. Come on.
Let's see. We're going to always have a fundamental disagreement on that snakes. Sexual preference.
But dude, you blame me for the fall of America at the end of the last break. So exactly. What the hell? You gonna eat it? You gonna have
exactly?
You gonna own that gay snake, brother?
But it is. I mean, to me, that is such a huge issue, and that's why I'm diving into it as an audiobook. And yeah. I wasn't gonna do it, and enough people have taught me into it, so.
No, it's something that definitely needs to be done, and there needs to be more. More conferences and media people need to come together more and discuss how we conduct ourselves and what our responsibility are as members of the media. And it just, there's too much of sensationalized opinions that get passed on as a God-spoken fact. And then people go on to regurgitate it as gospel. And then you get the whole mob mentality. And now you have a bunch of idiots out there repeating the same thing.
Yeah, but let's not take the responsibility off of our listening audience.
True.
The listening audience has a responsibility to when you digest and you consume your sports, which is a pastime. Mm-hmm. Okay, it doesn't earn you any money. It's a disposable income pastime, basically. You know what I mean? That's where you spend your little extra change and things. It's okay to use common sense. In our sports lives, the same way that we do in our daily lives and our jobs. You know, so many people are sitting in the stands at Texan games acting a damn fool, and these people are high-ranking people in companies. A lot of the foolishness and stuff we see going on Twitter and Facebook, it's amazing to know to see and observe who people actually have sitting in their cubicles in their corporate structures. Mm-hmm. You know, the moronic behavior that we see at times. For some reason, when it comes to social activities, sports, and things like that, we forget that we still have an obligation to think for ourselves. So just because Jemele Hill comes out and says something stupid, you don't have to necessarily run with it. You know, you listeners.
But you did.
No.
You guys had a whole long conversation about it.
But we didn't buy it. We didn't buy into it.
Yeah, the fact actually, that, no, I'm saying you did.
No, because you took the bait. We discussed it.
You took the bait and turned it into your own topic, and that's exactly what she's going for.
Well, okay, and I'll grant you that. But my
I know you like fishing.
But there's a difference
You just swallowed that whole hook. You just swallowed that whole hook, and you
Yeah, but
around.
I swallowed it like a trout, not like a guppy. That's a difference. That's a difference.
See, the difference is that most listeners, like you said, they have their responsibility, but they
swallow it like a guppy.
Well, but here's the thing, and you should know better because you do this. But the reality is people don't have time. They don't have time to do the research they need to do. That's why they depend on us to do research on stuff. Because you know what? I can speak, and that's what I did.
I feel like I did my job.
No,
let me finish. I disputed
Craig,
a ridiculous
Craig,
point.
Craig, stop talking over me, okay? I'm trying to make a point here. I let you talk. You let me talk. That's how the show works, okay? They don't have time. That's why Twitter is so popular. They're driving around in their car right now. They've been at work all day. They don't know what's going on in the sports world unless they were on Facebook all day. So they have to trust somebody. And it's kind of our job to make ourselves trustworthy, not to take stuff like this and try to make it an issue when it's not important to them. That's my point.
My point is really making the same point that you're making, but I disagree that you're making it as though I took it and made it a story. It's a story maybe you weren't familiar with, but just go check, brother. It is all over the web. That story is all over the place.
Which means it succeeded at what she was trying to do.
But that wasn't your point. Your point, you just told me basically that I was responsible for selling it to our listeners. And I do agree. I very much agree that the media has a responsibility to have some damn common sense and share good information. And when I see something as ridiculous as what she put out, my point on it was that it was completely farcical. Jermaine's point on it was that, no, actually she has a good point, and he and I discussed it, and we debated on it, mm-hmm. and we shared the information based on how we both individually felt
Yeah, how
on
we
it.
Both digested it.
So I have to disagree with you
my thing
to,
was,
that, to that degree, yeah. But I do get your overall point.
My thing was just I just wanted to point it out because when it first broke, it was in the middle of the day, and it started gaining some steam. Well, then when the news about Ali broke later that night, that buried everything else. So I just wanted to put it out there to get other people's opinions and see if they felt the same way I felt or just to hear their point of view on it, basically. And if I'm guilty of perpetuating her farcical
nonsense. Oh, you ruined the country.
Nonsense,
huh? You ruined the country.
You haven't yet.
I'm responsible for the fall of democracy.
The apocalypse.
You will
Walking
be.
Dead.
Yeah. I contributed to it.
I still think we're 20 years away, but... Yes, you contributed.
My blog brought us 18 years away.
Yeah, you took 2 years off the apocalypse.
I took 2 years off the apocalypse. Yeah. My bad.
And you know what? And you guys still can't quit talking about it. That's the thing. Y'all have gone two segments
now,
on
wait
this.
A minute, Fred. Now, you first, you edging it on, and now you putting
I'm
it
on.
I'm in the back seat. Craig is in the driver's. Craig is in the passenger seat. You behind the wheel.
You billing us.
I'm just along for the ride.
Fred just hit the ticker on it. And he's charging us for the ride,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he's bailing out on us. Okay, man.
Well, I made one point. You guys just kept going back to her. See, I, the thing is, I think there's 100 things that we could use as an example for this that have nothing to do with Jemele Hill. I mean, we can go pick anybody in sports. And we were talking about this off air. Sports is, in media, people don't realize this. The rest of the media follows what sports does. It always has. If you look at what they do on ESPN and Fox Sports 1, everything that happens on Fox News, Rush Limbaugh was basically what made him what he was. He was doing a sports talk show about politics. That's all it was. And so all these, and when I was at the paper, they used to use our sports coverage as a model for how they would cover politics. And that's why sports is so important to this discussion, is because stuff like this that she's doing that gets all your attention, it's the same thing people are doing now with the damn political process.
And I think,
and that's more important than sports. I think that's where we're in trouble.
I think the reason why they model the sports at model the political coverage after sports is because sports invokes an emotion in people unlike nothing else outside of, you know, just your own personal life experiences. So when you look to something outside of your personal life experiences to take your mind away from what's going on, one of the first things most people look at is sports.
So sports set the template for this, even back in the old days of the Chronicles, what you're saying.
It goes back farther than me. And I'll just say this as well, that's fine for sports, because sports is entertainment. But the political process, the news process, that's not entertainment. It's become entertainment. And that's the point I was making, is that stuff like this has transitioned into every other form of media, and it's only going to get worse. And 20 years from now, that's all it's going to be.
So sports set the blueprint, and everything kind of morphed from that.
Yep.
And you were in charge.
Oh, no, I was to blame.
Yeah, you destroyed the country, man.
We were doing stuff like having beat writers write columns. We were doing videos and things like that, dumb videos to get people to click on cron.com. Hey, I was responsible for that. I recognize that.
So you started it, and I finished it.
You made it worse.
So you were responsible for the fall of the nation. You're responsible for clickbait sideshow.
I started it.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
They made it worse.
Yeah, exactly.
He pushed the first domino.
Which brings us back to that dumb story. She started it. They made it worse. There you go.
But you're the grandfather, Fred Fowler.
Grandfather? No, not my kids.
Hashtag. Fred Fowler destroying America.
Anyway.
And him and his gay snake.
Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz.
The Blitz
on ESPN.
ESPN.
97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. A.J. will be back tomorrow, mercifully. Hey, I wanted to mention, we were talking about Sunfest earlier. So GetMe is also a sponsor of Sunfest. Michael was just telling us. And you guys are going to have GetMe in Galveston starting then, right? All right. So, you know what I hate is when I come up with a great plan and then realize it's the wrong day. We had Glenn Davis on yesterday, and I was telling him, oh, yeah, man, I'll come see you out of Gorgeous Gale. I thought that was Saturday. It's 4 to 6 tomorrow.
No, he's going to be there. He's doing a live show on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
He's just doing a promo hit tomorrow.
Okay, so I was right. He's 2 to 4 Saturday. Okay, so
no, he's 4 to 6 both days.
I thought it was 2 to 4. He was doing a live show 2 to 4.
No, it's 4 to 6.
You're sure about that?
Because I'm engineering.
Because you've gotten a lot of stuff wrong this week.
No.
Okay.
I know I'm right about this.
Okay, so 4 to 6. All right, well, I will go on record as saying I will be out there Saturday.
I will see you.
Briefly. So I'm going to bike over there and hang out.
Rockwilder says, round one goes to Fred for blaming me and Jermaine for the fall of America. And I tweeted him back saying, and telling me to shut up. That was a real OG move.
No, I was just saying, you know, you kind of get going and you want to make a point. So when the other person starts talking, you haven't finished your point, so you jump right back in. I noticed you do that a lot. You've done that to me before. So I had to tell you to stop. That's all.
Yeah, and I let you do it because you're the OG.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I mean, and you've already got two strikes, man.
I just let you do it because you're the OG. Let's not get crazy.
No. Yeah, one more strike, and it's me and Jermaine the rest of the show.
All right, brother. I'm paid. I'm a paid brother. I ain't no Trump.
This is a, you know.
You know.
But see, this is a problem. I feed him. I give him beverages.
milk, and mushrooms.
And he treats me like a dick. What the hell?
Anyway. That was a snake, not me, bro.
See, here's...
Oh, man.
Let me go back to the snake.
That was a snake.
And here's the million-dollar question from 832. So as a responsible public personality, what are you supposed to do?
A responsible person, public personality, you're supposed to report on what you see and what you hear and give a valid opinion on what you've seen and what you've heard.
Who decides what's valid? Fred?
Well, no,
Craig,
I mean, here's the thing.
Jamil?
It's up to you and it's up to your training as a journalist or a reporter to know what's valid and what's not.
Doesn't the public have an obligation, though, to have a little common sense on their own?
They're sheep. They're sheep
you know
and their guppies.
You got me, man. Ding, ding, ding. You got me.
They're I'm sheep done. And their guppies. They don't know what they want to know until we tell them what they want to know. And if we tell them that they want to know foolishness and they want to know sensationalized opinions being passed off as fact, then that's what they go with.
But that's there's a reason for that. I mean, what gets ratings? What pays the bills? We got to pay the bills here, man.
Sex.
Okay. So if we got to pay the bills, then... See, okay, so exactly. So that's basically what you're crushing Jamil for, trying to follow her producer's guidelines to pay the bills how they think.
No, I'm
that's
not,
how they need to be paid.
I'm not crushing her for doing that. I'm crushing you for talking about it. There's a big difference.
Back on me again.
Yeah. No, because that's hey, she knows what gets ratings. That's what she does. We know what gets ratings. There's certain things that we have to do. You know, we know what gets ratings, and you know what? We could get bigger ratings if we created a bunch of crap, which we don't do.
But do you believe that crushing idiot commentary also gets ratings?
No, I don't actually. I don't. I think, there's a reason First Take is at the most popular show on there because they go back and forth. But if you notice, people who try to take their takes and make a big deal out of it, the ratings are not good. People don't want to hear regurgitated responses to somebody else's created take. They want to hear you have your own take. They want to have something. They want to hear something new. They want to hear something fresh. In some cases, yes, they do. And we do it, too. Don't get me wrong. We talk about it.
Fred, you all over the place, man.
No.
I mean, because I've heard you give up props to guys like Josh Ennis, who is the exact same thing that you're talking about right now. And you've talked about how difficult it is to program against a guy like that.
No, you're missing my point again because I'm not talking about what he creates or what Jamel creates. I'm talking about the people who riff off of that like you guys were doing. And I'm not saying you never do it.
Not riffing off of it.
Listen, let me finish. Again, you're interrupting me. It's okay to do that. There's a lot of times where there's important stuff and there's stories that, and we got 20 stories on here that are something people said that might be worth doing. The point is, I think that it's all becoming that. Everything's becoming that.
Yeah, but who decides what's important to other individuals? I mean, your structure of what's important to Fred Fowler based on Fred's experiences in life, who the hell are you to tell me what should be important to me? And who the hell am I to tell Jermaine what should be important to him? See, that's what I don't get.
Why
do we rate that?
Are you on radio then? If you can't tell people what's important, why are you on radio?
But I've never had a problem telling people what I think. I do think that's pretty clear.
It needs to be more than what you think, though. It also needs to be what's important. There are times when you have to...
Okay.
And so, that was a point you were making off air, and I thought you were making a really great point, and you ruined it by doing it off air. That's okay. But about somebody else. But yeah, you do need to make those decisions. You need to make good decisions on those. You do need to bring important things to people and still be entertaining. That's not hard to do. You can do that.
So basically what you're saying is we need to find a happy medium where there's a certain level of quote-unquote bill paying by going to the sensationalized stuff and actually all the important stuff of giving it your take on what you're seeing and reporting.
Well, yes. What you need to do is take the money from First Take and spend a lot more money on Outside the Lines. And they won't do that. But that's what you do. That's what you have to do. You have to be responsible at the same time you're doing this.
I think that
that's a solution.
I think that now that's a fair point. I think because I think there needs to be a balance. There's a place in the world for some Josh Ennis and some Charlie Polillo. You know, there's a middle ground. We get all the time on Hustle Time. I don't know how much you listen to the show with your schedule. We quite often on Hustle Time get people calling in, bitching and moaning about what you do on your show. And I stress, you do your show, telling us
well, we like what you do this way because Fred won't do it. I'm like, bro, you're not going to get us to talk bad about Fred.
Yeah.
Fred is the reason why we're here.
You can talk bad about me all you want,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, but I'm not, but you know, you get my point, Fred.
No, I know.
Fred is why we're here, and that's his show. Right. But my point is, there are people that appreciate the way we bring it. There are people that appreciate the way you bring it. So I'm trying to figure out how you, Fred Fowler, determine what content should be delivered and from who.
But this is a different argument than what we're talking about as far as what I was saying with ESPN. Because there are times when we can do that. There's times when something important happens where, like, for instance, when the marathon bombings happened in Boston.
Okay.
If you listened to any other show in the city when that happened, you were stupid. Because we checked the news reports, we gave responsible reporting,
mm-hmm.
and whenever there's been anything like that, we do that better than anybody. Anybody, period. Because we're not going to sit there and report stuff like the one little kid that they said, oh, this was a guy with a bag, and it turned out to be a track kid who was there,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't do stuff like mm-hmm. that. You know, so, but those instances are rare. The rest of the time, we're here to have fun. And
I'm not debating the fun part of it. I just think that there's still some subjectivity in regard to what we do.
But there's subjectivity to everybody, and I'm not saying that what they're doing is wrong. That's the thing.
I think there needs to just
sometimes
be,
they're wrong.
they are wrong sometimes. But I think that subjectivity is up to that individual person, and that individual public personality, as we called ourselves, media people. That responsibility is on them ultimately, because like I said before, the public doesn't know what they want until you give them what they want.
And we need to know who we are. You know what I mean?
Right.
For instance, I was telling somebody last week on the show, Fred, I was like, we were talking about Bill O'Brien, how he treated everybody at the first OTAs meeting, press conference, and how he's been a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
And the caller was saying, and I was telling the caller, I was like, listen, we got guys on this station that I know for a fact would never be intimidated by Bill O'Brien.
Oh,
or shut down like that. And he said, who, Bear? I said, no, Fred and AJ and myself. Because I know who I am. And I know that I'm not required to be out there sniggling and giggling and happy-go-lucky like Steph Stradley and all these people in front of Bill O'Brien, because I know who I am. I'm a personality. I'm not a journalist. I don't try to be something that I'm not. What we do with our blog, I don't think we journalists. We just guys with opinion and have a passion for sports.
Right.
So I stay in my lane. In my lane, I don't have to kiss the Texans' ass. They can revoke my credentials, and I'll just laugh and still come on the radio and tell you Bill O'Brien is an idiot and he's bipolar. Because I believe that. Because of his behavior is all over the place. People in the media need to determine who they are. Who are you? And stick to your guns. I respect how Fred comes, regardless if I agree with all of it. It doesn't matter, because he's consistent. You know what I mean?
Right.
He has a background that causes him to be consistent in a certain way. And I'm consistent in a certain way. And I just don't think that any one person can just kind of guide and direct the entire industry based on their theory of how things should be done. That's just how I feel about it.
Well, judging from the response, we are getting to a new topic when we come back, because I think we have chased off 95% of the listeners. So,
math.
Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. They're doing it again. They were in here having an entire conversation about something Travis said that would have been really good. And now you guys burned it on the break. Y'all were going great.
Actually, we didn't burn it. It's no big deal.
But first, I'm going to give something away. The Copa America Centenario comes to Houston. Actually, I should read this just like it's on here. I'm not going to do it. ESPN 97.5 and the Houston Sports Authority going to send you to the game to see Colombia take on Costa Rica this Saturday, June 11th in NRG Stadium. Gates open at 5:30. Check it out at the Copa. Check out the Copa America tournament game information, tickets, and more at ca2016.com. Caller 20, and you have to pick these up tomorrow.
Yes, correct.
Yeah,
because the game's on Saturday. So,
Should I read this the way it's written? No,
I didn't type it up. You can read it however you like.
Don't Smith it.
I'm not going to do
don't
it.
Don't Smith it, Fred.
No, tell them what you guys were talking about because I found that interesting.
Travis Johnson.
Finally, something interesting.
Man, you're going out of your way to try to show us up, bro.
I'm jacking with you. Come on.
Yeah, but that's all right when we snap back, man. Like don't get sensitive on us. But nah, Travis Johnson, man. Everybody know who he is. It was Texans first round draft pick. Good guy, real interesting personality, to say the least. But that was a conversation I heard him having, and he really just vaguely mentioned a particular point that stuck out with me, and I just thought that it was an interesting point, and it's something I'd like to talk to him about. And we all kind of have a sort of general anecdotal understanding of college coaching. The principles of college coaching is so much different than what we would probably expect it to be, because they're not really developing kids for success in the NFL. And you almost can't really knock them for it because, be honest with you, they got to just coach for the immediate kids.
They cast their checks.
And a lot of times they go only have a kid for two, three years. So if you take that into consideration, and then Travis talked about the fact that in the NFL, we always hear this air quotes guys coaching them up.
Right.
And he was very, very definitive in saying, but they're not coaching us up. That's not what they're doing. NFL coaches are not coaching you up. They expect you to come in and already have a certain understanding of certain techniques and things that just, quite frankly, you're not really getting all of that in college. So now you've got this huge gap. You're being underdeveloped. Mm-hmm. I talked to Marcus Coleman. I talked to Aaron Glenn in the press box one year about this. And it really started for me watching high school football and how bad the defensive backs were playing technique-wise. And, I just wanted their opinion. And they both took it to the next level and said, well, for one thing, the coaching in college is just so porous in that regard. So you got this big gap with all of these kids. So think about that in terms of the real difficult skill positions like the quarterback position.
Right.
You know what I mean?
The translation of it from level to level to level. And if you're not getting the right foundation laid in the beginning, like you said, in high school, then that translates into college. You're still not getting the foundation that you need laid there.
It's a huge gap.
Once you get to the NFL and they're expecting you to be a prepackaged thing where they can just open you up. And it's almost like if you got furniture from a store. You know, if you go to a certain store and you buy it, it's already put together. You just take it and you use it. Well, they're getting IKEA furniture where they're having to open it up.
I knew you were going to do that. I just knew you were going to go to IKEA
card. It's like, what the hell am I doing with this? I can't even read the instructions. It doesn't make any sense. Ah, throw it to the side. It's a bust. You know, and that I can see his point because
it's really, when you think about it, it's amazing. And it's like, and so I guess the question then becomes, so how do you fuse that gap? I mean, what do you do about that? I mean, because it's clear that there's a huge development issue with these kids that's coming in, and you look at every position. It's not just the quarterback position. Of course, that one stands out.
Right, it's the most important position.
Yeah,
on
but
the field.
It was just something I thought was really, really interesting.
I think
coming from a guy like that. You know?
Yeah, I think one of the things that's going to help contribute to that is when they came over with the rookie wage scale, and now it's scaled back as to how much you're paying these rookies. Everybody knows what they're going to get paid. They know pretty much their guarantees. Everything's slotted. So there's less of a greater expectation placed upon these players when they first enter the league. So that's giving them a little bit more of a leash as far as, okay, I'm getting you ready to be the potential player that you can be. So that's going to help. But it's still a question of the coaching. You know, how patient is the organization? Where are you as far as your window for winning? Your window for wanting to be great. Are you rebuilding?
That has a lot to do with it.
Are you rebuilding? Are you like in the Broncos? Like, they just lost their starting and their backup quarterback this past offseason, but they just won the Super Bowl. They're still in win now mode, but they don't have the key piece to the puzzle ready to play right now because they just drafted a rookie quarterback that came out of a spread offense in college. So that kind of shows
And insulted Von Miller, apparently, on that article for his
$39.8 million guaranteed in the first 2 years. It doesn't matter if he's the highest paid defensive player per annual average. What are you guaranteeing this man? That was ridiculous.
Nick on Twitter with a real good point to what you're talking about. It's like being a graduate from college, and as soon as you go into the job field, they expect you to be legit like someone with 10 years experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really
great
good point. And I think part of scouting has become you scout the coaches too. You see who's guys that you're coming out of their programs that are more NFL ready. Like Michigan State's cranking out a lot of NFL-ready players, even though they might not be as talented as some guys at other places, whereas Baylor has a lot of talented guys that come into the NFL and not ready to play. And
one-route guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And and defensively, too. Next time you guys have Stanford on, ask him about some of his coaching at UH, and, you know, he'll tell you about it. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, from an NFL perspective, part of your scouting is, okay, what are we going to get? What kind of product are we going to get, and how much of that can we fix?
I'm going to look into it because this is a real interesting talk, and I'm glad you brought that up, Craig. But you see schools like Stanford who weren't traditionally college football powers. But since the Jim Harbaugh era and now under the current coach, his name escapes me, but they've cranking out good quality NFL talent. They may not be superstars, but they're good quality NFL players.
But you know what else they're cranking out is fifth-year seniors. Yeah. Almost all of those Stanford guys are fifth-year seniors. So they come in prepared. Now, they may not get much better than what they are their rookie year, but they come in prepared to play.
Right. LSU, I'm not being a homer here, guys. Don't go there with me.
No,
I'm not. It's a fact.
Of course
you
are.
That per capita in the NFL, they have one of the highest amounts of players on an active NFL roster as of right now because they run a pro-style system and they get guys ready for the next level by playing on the college level. So I think a lot of that coaching has a lot to do with that. Alabama turns out a lot of guys because of the way Nick Saban coaches his kids. So when you see some of these schools, Stanford, LSU, Alabama, Michigan State, the quote-unquote pro-style offenses at the college level, those are some of the schools that's cranking out a lot of quality NFL talent. They may not be the superstars, like I said, but they're cranking out quality NFL players.
But you know what? If I'm drafting LSU players, I'm drafting guys in the secondary, and I'm drafting running backs.
Oh, definitely.
I'm staying away from your defensive linemen.
And pretty much all those schools, you can point to particular position sets that you get typically more success
too.
With. Yeah, I mean, Michigan, you know, typically Michigan State, I mean, you're looking at guys up front. You can make an argument that they've done relatively well at the quarterback position of late. But, yeah, I agree with that to a large degree. I just think – but one thing we know about college football is that talent base now is spread out. You know, these smaller mid-major schools, you got more kids spread out across the country where you can go get quality talent. I just think that there's the point Fred made probably has a little bit more validity in terms of what the solution is because it's more about the coaching, identifying the right coaches. And I don't think that's very easy because the people who hire coaches aren't really X and O people.
But it's also not their job to hire guys who are going to develop players for the NFL, which is always a big thing about Urban Meyer and his quarterbacks. He's there to win, not develop those guys for the NFL.
And that's where it all started. Not getting them ready for the next level.
Yeah.
The thing
that kind of leveled the playing field a little bit is when the NCAA finally limited each school to 85 scholarship players only. And this was about 15 or so years ago. Ever since then, you see more of these mid-major schools, non-Power 5 schools as they call them, rising up to prominence and doing things on a bigger level, you know, challenging some of these bigger schools because that talent pool is so spread out now. So you don't see the concentration of talent just in these Power 5 conferences.
The key word with that is spread. The reason why you're seeing that talent spread out across the country like that in these smaller schools, which is basically what I just said, is that because the spread offenses, these coaches, Art Briles, perfect example, doesn't need the best. He doesn't need a five-star athlete in that system. You know what I mean? Because you can get four-star, three-star kids. The system itself, you know what I mean? Spreading guys out, smaller, quicker guys. You kind of evening the playing field out a little bit. But I'll just say that I just want to key in on that particular word, the spread. You know, we kill the spread because it's hurting quarterback development at the next level. But overall, at the same time, it's also the main reason why kids are getting a better opportunity.
Guys, I'm sorry, I got to cut it off here. We got to go to break. But he should have recruited some guys who were a little less rapey.
Oh, yeah.
But,
I was waiting on that one.
All right, guys, got to tell you about my good friends at Houston Can Academies, where what they do is they take in kids who are at risk, kids who've dropped out of other schools, and they give them a second chance, and they work with them. Some of them had to get jobs to support their families. Some had all kinds of issues, and Houston Can Academy takes in all these kids, gives them another opportunity, and so many of them go on and graduate and do great things. They change lives every day, and you can help. And it's a cool thing that they do, and you can be a part of it, and it's so easy. All you have to do is donate that vehicle that you're not using anymore, whether it's a car, whether it's a truck. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. Doesn't have to be running. Yeah, you maybe you had one that got messed up by the floods, and the Blitzers have been donating a lot of these vehicles, and it's so easy. Here's what they're going to do. They're going to come tow your vehicle free of charge. Your donation's tax deductible. They take care of all the paperwork, so it's quick and easy. And if you donate today, tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, you get Astros tickets. You're just going to say, hey, thank you for getting rid of something you don't need anymore and helping out and getting a tax deduction and Astros tickets. Give them a call, 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Join ESPN 97.5 tomorrow at the gorgeous Gale for the Copa America Games. Glenn Davis and the ESPN 97.5 road crew will be dropping in at 4 to get the party started. They have two pairs of tickets to give away to Saturday's Copa America match at NRG Stadium. Make sure to pop in for happy hour, the pregame party, and your chance to win from ESPN 97.5 and the gorgeous Gale. Or make sure to pop in, like Mary Poppins. This is what you're giving me?
I didn't write it. I just transcribed it.
Okay, just checking.
You're contributing to the fall of America, Tyler.
I've given up on grammar, so that's been dead for years. HD Show with Henry Thomas and Fred Davis live from Prison Break Tattoos at 7 p.m. tonight. That's got to be a first. Doing a show from Prison Break Tattoos. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's going to be a lot of buzz around that one.
Buzz?
Tattoo gun buzz? Come
on. Oh, okay.
So just looking at this card from Get Me, you get 50% off all deliveries with Get Me if you use the code ESPN. Is that right?
And rides.
Oh, okay. 50% off all rides with Get Me. Just use the code ESPN.
Hey, Fred. Last conversation, I was looking at something here on Twitter. Get your thought. Lamont was saying that we left out one particular thing in regard to talking about these college kids, is that we left out want to as far as these kids being ready, getting themselves ready.
The love of the game itself.
If you don't have the talent, though, I don't care how much want to you have. Mm-hmm. You're not going to make it in that league.
No.
I think it's plenty of kids that's probably got the want to. I think it takes a balance of all of it. It takes the want to, of course. But I go back to that coaching thing. The point that Fred made about identifying these coaches. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the missing piece here. Because when you think about coaches hiring, when you think about coaches and recruiting and in the draft process, you got educated people looking at, you got educated X and O people doing the analysis on these kids. But in terms of coaching, the people that are hiring coaches, most of those people are not really football people in terms of strict X and O people.
No, they're strictly administrators, and then there's sometimes these administrators actually hire search firms to go out and find them quality candidates in order to interview them, and then they just pick who they impress by the most.
But you know who those search firms are? They're all like former ADs, you know, who were guys who didn't really know either.
Yeah.
Almost exactly. All of them.
Yeah. It's a cycle.
Right, we got to do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
Yes, sir.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
All right. This is if you decided to rob a McDonald's, just, you know, decided on a whim, hey, I'm going to rob a McDonald's, mm-hmm. which I've never really thought about that. I've never walked by a McDonald's. Yeah, I've walked by a bank and thought, you know what, I could probably rob this bank and nobody would ever know.
I could do
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. McDonald's, not so much. But, I can't pronounce it because it's French, so we'll just start with that. I think it's Besançon. Two armed men kind of chose the wrong McDonald's for a stick-up. Two men in their 20s fired a warning shot, cleaned out the registers of about 2,000 euros, which is $2,280, which I cannot believe they carry that much money in a McDonald's. But I guess they do because they do huge volume, right? Apparently, the reason it was the wrong McDonald's, apparently of the 40 diners that were in the place, I'm not going to rob a McDonald's with 40 people in it. Especially in Texas, odds are 27 of them have guns. I'm probably getting shot. But anywhere else, if there's 40 people there, you're probably not going to rob it, right?
No.
Well, here's the problem. 11 of these 40 happen to be off-duty members of an elite French special forces teams that specializes in hostage situations. The members of the special forces are part of what is called, all right, I'm going to try to do some French here, Groupe d'Intervention de la Gendarmerie Nationale, or GIGN. The Washington Post says that the GIGN was created in the aftermath of the hostage situation at the 72 Olympic Games in Munich. So apparently one of the would-be robbers tripped while trying to run out the door. I'm guessing somebody stuck a leg out and tripped him. And then they grabbed him. The other man refused to drop his weapon when ordered to do so. So what happens to him? Shot in the stomach, of course. Oh. None of the diners or employees were injured. The two suspects were sent to a nearby hospital for medical treatment. I'm just thinking, what an awesome wake-up call that would be. I'm like, man, I'm going to get this McDonald's. You know, I'm going to do the whole Pulp Fiction scene with Honey Bunny, and we're going to clean out the registers. And here, and now, to be fair, it's French Special Forces. How tough can they be? But
whoa, Fred, don't go there. most famous McDonald's bad robbery decision ever. It was McDowell's.
McDowell's.
Oh, yeah, McDowell's. There you go.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Home of the what was the name of his sandwich?
Forget it, man. But the worst.
The Big Mick.
The worst fast Thanks, food Mike. Movie robbery ever was in the movie Tammy. Did you see that one, Fred?
I don't think I did.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I've seen pretty much every bad movie there is to be made.
That one's pretty bad. Yeah, it's an entertaining movie, slapstick type stuff.
Yeah,
but she basically runs in and robs it with the old paper bag routine and the finger. And,
oh my god,
it's pretty funny stuff. But yeah, that's pretty bad. Getting slapped around by the French is never cool, man. If you go rob a McDonald's,
hey, the French needed a victory, so this works out for them.
they're gonna
got a million
their
of
hats
them.
On this, this
drum roll, Tyler.
This is like A&M. This is like A&M scheduling rice. Is what it is, you know, for these French guys.
Whoa. Get Indy Kalu on the phone, man.
Football power rice.
Anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day. We're all good.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
So, now she's promotion girl Monica, I guess. I guess she's just Monica ESPN, is out at the tattoo shop and she says it's fun, so I'll take her word for it. That would be awesome, man. All I ever want to do, there's three things I want to do in life. I want to do a show at a prison.
Two.
I'd like to do a show at a tattoo parlor. I think that'd be cool.
Three.
I'd like to do a show at a fire station.
Why a fire station?
Huh? I just think it would be cool.
It would be cool.
Do a show and have some of the guys on the air, because, you know, I don't think we could do it in a police station. There'd be too many people being brought in and arrested and stuff like that.
You know what?
But I would love to do one in a fire station.
I'm going to talk to somebody. We're going to try to make that happen.
And I know we have a lot of guys out there who listen who are firemen. So I'd like to do.
It would depend on who's coming up and down that pole.
Now, see, that's a different one because we've done them at strip clubs. And I'm totally cool with that pole.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
But it's been a long time. We don't really do those here. We did that back at the old place. Anyway, 713-780-ESPN. What do I have here, Tyler? I'm going to tell you about the best steak deal ever. And this is a Father's Day deal, But this is just a great deal. And I know you guys like steaks, and I know you like, you're like me. I love to eat anything that used to have a parent. And that's what Omaha Steaks is all about. And this deal, I'm telling you, I got this deal. I'm begging my kids to get me this as a Father's Day gift so I can have more. $49.99 plus shipping and handling. Limited time Father's Day package. When you go to omahasteaks.com, enter Fred in the search bar and apply the savings. Okay, so here's the list. Get ready. Two tender mild filet mignons, two bold beefy top sirloins, four crispy chicken fried steaks, four juicy boneless pork chops, four all-beef Omaha steak burgers. Got to take a breath. Four award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all-beef meatballs, a pound of steakhouse fries, four made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets, one Omaha steak seasoning packet, plus, how about this, four additional burgers for free. Limited time. I know you guys keep tweeting me and saying how much longer is this going to last. You better get in now. $49.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com. Type Fred in the search bar and add Father's Day package to your cart. Don't wait. This offer is going to end soon. Omahasteaks.com, Fred in the search bar. Grab your dad, fire up the grill, and eat all kinds of great food.
The Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5.